Sins can be forgiven you by saying 13 Hail Marys, and I can give absolution. I can absolve you of your sins.
Yeah, everybody knows it takes 15.
And they have the original NSA spying system with confession.
Oh, confession.
The what?
The confession.
They said they have the original NSA spying system with confessions. They knew all the dirt on everybody.
They knew everything about everyone because...
You had to go confess. Or
if you didn't...
Yeah, they'd hold you under water until you grew warts. And
another interesting tidbit around that is they burned the people at the stake because if that way they could kill them without shedding their blood, because a lot of them thought that shedding the blood was prohibited. Therefore, burning them at the stake was okay.
Just in case.
That's interesting.
And then all mankind born sinners.
Born sinners.
So that's good. Yeah, you're born sinners, and because that's good. Because of that, you need the church. You can't be saved without the church.
And you need to buy fish on Friday to help the fish market.
All kinds of weird stuff. How about you only have one lifetime? You know, they cut out all reincarnation. If you taught reincarnation, you would be put to death. In fact, the Cathars who were in southern France who accepted the teachings of Jesus in reincarnation, they built this big temple up on Mount Seignior, and they were becoming so powerful. They were drawing people to them, and they were expanding, and the Catholic Church felt threatened by this group of spiritual monks, and they sent 30,000 lynchmen down there to south of France to wipe them all out. It took them 4 years. They wiped them all out, and the last ones found refuge on the top of this mountain. And they had some of the scrolls from the Holy Grail, or from the Ark of the Covenant, that Jesus had copied for them. And they had some of these, and they made off with them one night before they were all put to death. Don't we all know that?
Yeah.
Some of
and it still lingers. It still lingers,
after
all.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, women.
That women are inferior.
Yep.
Tell my wife that.
Where's the ark today? Where's the ark today?
We're going to get there. Right. We've got a minute. We've got a minute or two. It's around. It's around. Let's see. Who's got that gold nugget? Yeah, saved by religion or another person. Jesus is my personal savior. Who's going to save you anyway, Adam? If you're going to be saved, what are you going to be saved from? First of all, you ought to, you know, what am I being saved from? Sins. What's that? Half of what people did back then wasn't wrong to own a
thoughts about yourself.
I always wondered about that, because if he died for my sins, then why can I get in trouble?
Yeah, you should have carte blanche. I should be able to do whatever I want, because guess what? Jesus died for that. Yeah. Well, I go out and steal and say, well, it's been atoned. Happy day.
I just thought, okay, we'll pay him back. Then
should I give Jesus some of what I steal? Yeah.
Well, if we don't go rob the liquor store, we want Jesus to die for nothing?
Well, yeah. Therefore, you know, we have to sin. Well, sin comes from a Greek word, aeonios, I think, Joe. It means to miss the mark. Okay, to miss the mark, which would be in your personal development, to do things contrary to the light of your soul would be missing the mark. That might be a sin if your soul tells you to act and you don't, or something like that. But sins, the way they saw, you know, not going to church, not believing in the church or worshiping God a certain way, you know, they would kill you for that, and that was a sin.
Was the definition of sin. If you didn't do what you were told.
If you didn't do what the church told you, you were sinning.
That's exactly what
you're going to hell. Mm-hmm. You're the apostate, you know, off with their head.
Where did the phrase being down ever come from?
Being down? In the King James Version, when they translated to King James, they took chronos and made it into being damned. But it's not really. It means trauma. J.J. wrote about it.
Yeah, just a bunch of planetary drama.
One quick thing, Curtis, on the sin. The word sincere comes from, they used to sell pots. Potters would sell pots, and some of the pots were flawed, had cracks in them or something. And they would fill those cracks with wax that was colored to look like the pottery. So you'd get a pot, and you wouldn't realize that once you started boiling water in it, it was going to leak. You know? So they started selling pots that were labeled sincere. Sere means wax, and sin means without or missing. And so it would be missing wax or without wax. You know, that's a sincere pot, right? So the word sincere came out of that.
That's interesting. Or else it was a leaky pot.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the Old Testament, all of the sacrifices that they had to give, you know, before certain ceremonies, or for example, before they left Egypt and they put the blood around the doorposts of the angel of death, would pass over them. This was a foreshadowing of the sacrifice that Jesus would eventually make. And why did they have to sacrifice? Because they were sacrificing for what they had done. There were sins that they were considering. And then once a year, they also have to go through a ritual where they forgive everybody their debts. And
every 7 years, there was the celebration of Jubilee. Was it the year of Jubilee? Every 7 years?
I don't know, but when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of the temple was rent in two. And this was the veil that went into the Holy of Holies. So he no longer certain sacrifices had to be made.
Well, that's true. Yeah, he fulfilled the law of Moses.
Yeah,
as a side thought, why did Jesus die? Because he wanted to show, well, why do you think he died? Why did he die and come back?
To show that man can overcome death.
Yeah, he showed our potential. He showed that we have the seeds of immortality in each and every one of us, and each and every one of us can sustain our lives by speaking the truth, by being, like Joe said, a word of God, and connected to a higher word of God. We create not just a word or a voice, but a symphony of voice, and together operating at a certain frequency, which is not 440. At 432, I think, well, one of those frequencies, we begin to, aha, you feel the aha, I feel alive, I feel like the rod of initiation or healing is being passed over me, and I feel like I want to stay alive. How many people out there in the world want to stay alive when they're, let's say, 60 years old? Well, I'm 60 years old this year, and I want to stay alive. You have to want to stay alive. He just showed the potential, showed what we could do. So you have to, in your mind, see a bigger picture. Remember I talked about that? See yourself being alive at 120 or 150, or being part of a chalice of immortality and staying alive indefinitely. What do you say, for 1,000 years? That's quite a while, but you can hang on. But you can still, in your mind, prepare a place in your own mind where you can stay alive. And your hair can look however you want it to look. And you can look as young as you feel.
Can I be skinny?
Joe feels pretty young. Don't tell by looking at him right there. Now, I just want to cover a couple more things, and then we're going to go into where the ark is. There were a certain number of groups that carried the light, the torch, through the dark ages. Anybody have any idea who these different groups were?
The Templars.
The who?
Knights Templar.
The Knights Templars.
Rosicrucians.
Rosicrucians. Mm-hmm. Rosicrucians were connected to the Masons. And the Knights Templar lasted 200 years. What about the Rosicrucians? Who were they? Who started them? They come later, a little bit. They're started by Francis Bacon. But he comes around 1600.
Who some claim was Shakespeare.
The what?
Some people claim Francis Bacon was Shakespeare.
He was.
That he was who?
He was Shakespeare.
He wrote the works of Shakespeare.
Yeah, well, I'm going to go into that in a minute and show you why people think that he was. But here, going back to 1200, you've got all this Dark Age mentality, and you've got the priests and the Catholic Church, and they're raining darkness on the minds of the people. If you have a Bible, or if you speak against the church, off with their head, on with the stake. This is it. You're out of here. And they people are living in darkness and ignorance. Well, but there's a plan. This divine plan came from the Ark of the Covenant from Atlantis all the way through the Dark Ages. And God said, well, we're going to carry the torch on through. And the Knights Templar were a very, very rich group of people. They were started by Geoffrey St. Omar and Hugh de Payen in
1022.
It is, we're called the Knights Templar in 1022. This is what,
well,
they started it
well, in,
I'll tell you when they started it.
And they applied for a rule from the Pope. It was like 1022.
Yeah, okay, sometime around there. They started, and they went to Jerusalem. The reason they were called Knights Templar is they were the Temple Knights. They ostensibly were to safeguard the roads from Europe to Jerusalem for pilgrims that wanted to go into the Holy Land. And there were highwaymen everywhere. And the roads were not safe. And so these knights that came through these after King Arthur and disseminated through England and France said, well, let's make the way safe. And Hugh de Payen got a hold of a map, and on this map it showed that there was treasure under King Solomon's temple. And eight other knights, went to Jerusalem, and it took them years, but they dug. They lived under the stables where the horses were under King Solomon's temple. And they dug and dug deep down under the earth, 7 layers down, 80 feet down, and they found these treasures that King Solomon had left and that were not taken by Joseph of Arimathea when they went to France. He only took the scrolls and sacred parts, but there was this huge treasure. And this is all documented in, like, these 3 books I had to wade through in the last year since I was here. But it tells you of the journey of these Knights Templar, and they found the treasure, made them very rich, and they were enlightened brothers, and many of them were of the Mace Masonic Order. And what made the Knights Templar special is they could all read. They were literate. They were educated. They had their finger on the social pulse, on the political pulse, on the economic pulse, and on the pulse of darkness, too. And they said, well,
sons of royalty who could not inherit, and their only choices were to go in the army or to become priests. And so these guys joined up on the First Crusade, but they were second, third, and fourth sons of royalty.
No inheritance.
That's
and
right.
That's why they could read and were well trained and could function in the courts and everything. And most of the Templars down through the time, many of them were non-inherit sons of royalty.
But they were, and they, right. But they were literate, and they were good people, and they financed the Masons in building all the cathedrals through Europe.